Hello, and welcome to Gravel Knits, a place to chat and have a few sips.
Today is August 3rd, 2023.
Thanks for listening.
I'm Caitlin, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
And I'm Kelsey, and my pronouns are also she, her, and hers.
I'm Brian. My pronouns are he, him, and his.
I'm Cole, and my pronouns are he and him.
And today we've got a special episode, if you've already possibly noticed. So we are going to bring in the spouses tonight and talk about Ragbri.
Everybody here was out there for at least a day of Ragbri. All had very, very different experiences. We thought we'd share a little bit about how we all had our own times, own adventures. So who wants to go first? Caitlin probably had the most preparation. Do you want to start there?
Yeah. Can we start with a drink?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
But that's a good idea since I'm the I like that idea. Okay, so tonight we're going to Nebraska, which is just a neighbor.
We started on the west side of Iowa.
Yeah, that's why I did it. Totally.
Yes, definitely.
But I didn't even make that connection. That's really smart, Kelsey. This is a Brickway Brewery out of Omaha, Nebraska. And tonight we are going to try the Jalapeno Pineapple Pilsner, which did receive the 2019 gold for the chili beer competition, I think is what it says under it. Or not competition, the category.
Okay, the American Beer Festival.
And then, underneath the little ribbon, it says chili beer, which I guess jalapenos aren't chili.
Jalapenos are a chili.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they are a chili. Yes. But I was thinking, like, making chili.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
My chili. I have a feeling Brian might be a little more correct on the category. Cool. So they are in cans, but I'm not smelling jalapeno straight off.
I wouldn't think you'd smell too much of it. Usually it'll taste it more than you'll smell it.
that's jalapeno juice.
Feel free to chime in.
It's good. It's not as spicy as I thought it would be, though.
I smell the jalapeno right off.
Yeah, as soon as I think cracked it's probably, it open, I could smell a jalapeno.
Probably hard in a can. You guys,
we did pour ours into a glass tonight. Hmm? We did pour ours into glasses. So it did open up, and it's very pungent of jalapeno.
Nice. As it should be. It seems like that was their directive here.
Yeah, and a good pepper beer has all the flavor, but not the heat. Some of the pepper beers, they do come with the heat, and they're a little hard to drink sometimes.
I've definitely had those.
Yeah, we had a jalapeno wine, and it was all of the heat and all of the flavor of jalapeno. It was hard to drink. Great to cook with. Hard to drink.
Yeah, it was great.
There are some that are definitely meant for that. Definitely not for drinking. But they, like Caitlin said, other chili, they make great beer for chili.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. So then maybe you'd want some.
Great chili beer, you know, get a little bit of that beer funk, a little bit of the heat.
And cinnamon rolls.
If you choose to go that way.
I just learned about that within the last few years.
I still don't understand.
I
would have never made the connection, but I'll always eat a cinnamon roll. So.
I would eat a cinnamon roll pretty much any time.
Yeah. And I do eat them for the frosting. So if I were to like use all the other pieces that don't have frosting bites and dip them, my chili, that'd be good. Anyway, sorry, I'm way off topic here. This is 4.8% ABV. It has a really neat can. It's kind of like a mustardy yellow with different yellows and has like this cool design on the side. I think it's neat.
Definitely brings vibes of Nebraska Prairie.
Yeah.
That was a sunflower for a second, but maybe not.
Original artwork by Heidi Geist for the 48 Beer Project.
I was just reading that too. That's so funny.
This is number 34.
I like it. And I'm glad that it doesn't have, like, I can taste the flavor and not just heat.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good. Agreed. Pretty good as far as Pilsners go.
That was an emphatic head nod from Cole. He enthusiastically agrees. Excellent for audio podcasts.
Hey, we could totally save the video and put this on our YouTube. We keep saying we're going to.
We do. Yeah, maybe.
I think I'd have to leave in our really funny intro, though. Great. Took 3 takes, but we got it.
We got there eventually.
All right. So I did kind of write down some prep notes. Do we want to start there and then talk about our adventures?
Sure.
Okay. So I think, like, straight off my, like, 3 top things to make sure you bring, which please, everyone, jump in. This is more than 3 things, but I put it in 3 categories, so bear with me. Shorts, always have enough bike shorts that are clean and ready to go. So if you decide that you don't necessarily want the same, like if you're doing all 7 days, but you want to carry 7 shorts, make sure you're going to clean them because you need clean shorts. And same thing with socks. I'm fortunate to not really have blisters and get blisters, but if you have really wet socks and you keep rubbing against them on your shoes, is not so good. For your bike.
I'm trying to get to where your notes are.
Oh, I don't have, I just wrote them down on paper.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so that's like person clothes things. And I guess I could also put chapstick in there because there's nothing worse than chap lips. Maybe sunburn. Then everything you need to change a tire. So tubes, tire lever, small pump, and a small pump. I saw the same guy I kept re-seeing that had like a giant pump just like hanging off the back of his bike. Like if that's your jam, that's cool too. But there are much smaller pumps. And then
sometimes those larger pumps are kind of nice to have. Especially around camp, you know what, if you feel like carrying it.
Yeah,
I've seen so many people do that.
We, like, since we traveled with the team, they had like good pumps, so
definitely one of the perks of traveling with the team.
And then my like extra thing, if these are like the minimums that I'm gonna go with, is a chain breaker, because if your chain breaks, you can you can kind of squeeze it and link to at least get somewhere and then fix it. Those are like my minimums to bring.
Tube.
Yeah, I said tubes. Oh. So that's like my minimums.
Very good, very quick list.
Yay. So Kelsey had already hinted at this, but there's a few different ways. Well, I guess maybe we should say what RAGBRAI is.
Yeah, let's start there. We didn't really say.
Yeah.
We've talked about it a little bit on the show before, but RAGBRAI is the Register's annual Great Bicycle Ride Across Iowa. It started 50 years ago as a 6-day bicycle ride across the state, which has now turned into 7, and is pretty much anywhere from 450 to 500 miles.
It was also a great way for a couple of the Register staffers to get paid for a vacation for the summertime.
It started out as an excuse to ride their bikes across Iowa for a newspaper story. and it became a big event that keeps growing and each year gets better or different. Or,
and this year was the 50th anniversary.
The big L of a ride. Yeah, anything else? What else to say?
Every day there was between 25 and 50,000 people plus. It's the longest and largest bicycle tour in the world, I believe.
Yes, I believe you're correct. So going on for a long time, it's essentially your excuse to eat, drink, ride your bike, camp your way across the state of Iowa, which is far more beautiful than anyone can ever describe. You'll have to come here to believe it's more than hills and cows and corn.
Well, but I think that kind of covers it.
Yep.
Cool. So
Sorry, there was one other thing. So the other interesting thing is it always starts on the west side of Iowa. You dip your rear tire into the Missouri River. It always ends on the east side of Iowa in the Mississippi, and you dip your front tire there, and therefore signifying that you have crossed the entire state if you do the whole ride. You honor to dip both tires in both adjoining rivers.
Yeah.
So then how about this? Why don't we go around and say what our experiences are with Rag Ride, how many times we've been on it, if it, you know, been a day, et cetera. Like for me, I think this was year 7 or 8 of some form of a day or two or more. I've done everything from 50 miles to the entire way across with every single mile ribbon and then some. I have mostly ridden single days, but my favorite way is to ride with my team. That way I have a team bus and my bags are carried and I have a way for my tent to be carried. And that way it leaves me to just carry myself across.
Love it. Cole, do you want to go next?
Sure. This was actually my 9th year. I've missed 2 days in 9 years. And so it'd be about 7 years that I've done every mile across. Yeah.
And 7 years you've done more?
Yeah, there have been many years where I have done many more miles than the route. Usually I'm at 75 to 100 miles longer than the route is, just because if I see something cool, I'm going to go look at it, and it doesn't matter if it's on gravel or wherever.
Cool.
Okay. Nice. So Brian and I kind of have the same answer. Do you want to go? Oh, so this is our first year, and we did 2.5 days. I think it was pretty close to half, at least, because I think that day was like 86 and we went 40 miles. So say that where you want, maybe 40%. But we did Tuesday, Wednesday, and half a Thursday. I guess we made up for it, though, because there is typically a day like that, a century day, and the like route will have an optional loop, and we did that loop, so maybe that makes up for our 6 miles short of half.
And then you did some bonus miles on the short day, didn't you, to get home or something? Yes. Like that
Brian did, and then we biked around a little bit to explore Des Moines, like the concert and stuff. Yeah, good call, good memory. So Kelsey brought me to, I think, the next kind of thing I think would be good to talk about. And that is, there's a few different ways that you can approach Ragbri.
A few million.
Yeah. So four ways that I am aware of that you can do. Well, actually, we should probably go with 5 because Cole has like a whole nother level. You can travel with the team. You can travel by yourself. You can be registered with Ragbri so that they can carry your stuff. there are also like some companies that you can pay to help with things too. So we've got a bunch of different options. Kelsey, did you want to lead us off on what like a team?
Sure.
What do you mean by rag-rag team?
So there are rag-rag teams, or you know, a lot of people have old school buses where, you know, they've turned it into like a party bus style, kind of an RV situation. And then you can throw a bunch of bikes on the roof or back on the trailer, and you can carry any amount of team members. That way someone is driving the bus and carrying your stuff. Sorry, we had some pop-ups.
Unavoidable.
So with the teams, there are all these teams that have kind of gotten together over the years and kind of grown. There are different mascots and symbols and different styles. You can help chime in.
It's basically a bunch of friends that get together, end up buying a bus, and then they will install bike racks and possibly showers in the back and stuff. They turn the seats sideways so then they can actually get away. There's few certain things that they can get away with by making it an RV. And then it doesn't require any special licenses or anything to drive. And so that leads to the migration of the RAGBRAI teams on what we call day zero, which is the day that everybody travels out to the starting town. So you'll see a whole bunch of old school buses painted up in all kinds of crazy schemes with bike racks all over the top with generally 15 to 30 plus bikes on them.
Like our team, we ride with teammate, and our bus is red, white, and maroon, or I guess blue, white, and maroon.
They need to do something about
it's
that.
Horrible. But we are the fourth team to own it, and it's been on at least 25 rag routes. It now has our teammate monkeys on the side of it. You can see us coming. But we can fit most of our bikes up on the top. Lots of room inside.
Yeah. Nice.
So with our team, and teams can do this differently. So a lot of teams will find host houses in different towns. So we arrange so that we will find somebody in town that's our host town. And we're going to stay at their house and have access to their showers or bathrooms, and ideally.
Iowa is what I call the great big small town. Somebody knows somebody from somewhere that knows somebody from somewhere that has a place or a backyard and a toilet that you can use. So when the RAGBRAI route gets set up throughout the... in January, as soon as it gets put out, your whole team is basically looking at all their contacts. Who do we know that has a contact in this city or this city or this city? And so that's how you find a lot of the overnight houses.
Nice. Yeah. And that it's definitely a variety too. Like the first house we stayed at, they like let everyone sleep in the basement and they let everyone take showers. Another house had a pool, so they let us swim in their pool, but didn't want us in their house. But that's fine. Set up tents outside. I get it. So you get a variety.
We've stayed outside a bar where we had access to the bathrooms until the bar closed. And then again, when the owner came over in the morning.
I've taken a shower that's in a shower that's worth more than a lot of people's like home renovations could be. It was one of the most insane things I had ever seen. It was an entire room was the shower.
Whoa.
I mean, it was a steam shower, and like the guy, we randomly ended up staying at this house. We were supposed to stay next door and it was all full. So they ended up asking their neighbor, and the guy the whole night, as soon as anyone came out of the shower, "Did you try the steam shower? Did you try the steam shower?" He was just so incredibly excited. So I'm like, there's no way I'm not going to try and figure this contraption out. And so he's like, you got to put on the steam, put it on real heavy, real hot, and then make the, there was a rain shower head or two in the center of the one side. I mean, it was literally maybe 15 by 20 room. It was just massive. But he's like, you have to put the steam on and then put the rain shower in a real cold and then put your head under the rain shower while the steam's all around you. It's just amazing. And so I did exactly what he said and came out, and he's like, "So did you try the steam shower?" I was like, "Of course I did. After hearing about it for the last 2 hours, of course I did. And it was probably the most amazing shower I've ever seen." He was just beaming from ear to ear.
That's awesome. And this does go for some of the other options, but a thing that's nice about going with a team is you can SAG. I think that's the right word.
Yes.
For a day, so you can hang out on the bus, not bike, or even like our bus would try to stop near the halfway town. So like some people would start the day or finish the day biking.
So in an ideal world, you know, you train for Rag Rai and the weather is perfect and it's going to be great and you're going to ride every mile. But sometimes the world's not perfect and either you training fell apart or the weather's not right.
Or the sun's trying to kill you.
Yep. And sometimes you need a little help, so that should really be on you to make sure you've got a ride. And so with a team, you've got the best option that often they're going to meet you in the meetup town, which is usually about the halfway point of the day. And you can jump on the bus there.
And the SAG wagon stands for support and gear, which I learned. So it's not just sagging behind, it's actually supporting you. And
it's there for a reason. There are definitely times where I know I can't ride the whole day, and that's okay. And I can take a bus.
Nice. So kind of related to that, I'll start and you guys just interrupt me when I mess up. But if you are registered for RagBri, you can register to have the actual company carry your things. So it's a similar idea. Like you pack up your bags, give them to the RagBri people. They drive them on semis. And then at the destination, they take and unload the semi with all your stuff. So you bike that morning, grab your stuff. And then the next morning, you need to have your stuff there by a certain time, which I think is kind of early, but kind of not, like 7 or 8.
The first day, it's earlier. So the first day, they weigh everybody's bags as they're getting loaded on the trucks. So they have the big, massive moving trucks. And this way, they're getting an idea of exactly how much weight they're moving across the state. I learned that this year. It was a new thing I learned.
Interesting.
Every day after that, it gets a little bit faster, as I think the time's a little bit later. But that first day, it takes a little bit longer. They try to get you there earlier.
Makes sense. And I think it's a great option as long as your schedule works with it and you're prepared. I think there's a fun aspect to the team. Like, you can still do this with friends or a team, too. You just don't have a bus. But that is an option to do. Anything else we want to add to that?
I would say be prepared to wait. Know that they're doing this as a service and it's not on demand. It's definitely a good option. It's a feasible option. They're going to be there all the time and be dependable, but be prepared to wait.
Because they're also doing it for another 15,000 people.
Which is really impressive. Think about how much they're moving.
the logistics for this whole entire thing are just amazing.
They're literally picking up a moving city from night to night and making sure it moves from point to point and that everyone gets across the entire state. That's pretty incredible.
So another option, which I think Cole should kind of take, I think there's kind of different versions to go with this, but there's like the solo option, which I know you ride with the team, but you also are prepared to carry everything yourself. So let's talk a little bit about that. And
maybe we'll talk about baggers.
Yeah. Okay. We'll call it baggers.
The term baggers, it's basically cycle tourists. So they have panniers, which are bags that are loaded onto racks on the front and rear of their bike. They are part of the, and I'll refer to folklore of Ragbri because it's been 50 years. Like there is a lot of stories over the years of it. But they're a group that they're completely self-contained. They'll a lot of times take off from Des Moines area and ride out to the start or somewhere across the country. I know people have ridden in from, I've known as far as Arizona, at least.
Wow. I just heard Colorado, Indiana, Arizona. Yeah. Yeah.
Then you have other forms of baggers like Team Bad Boy, who some of those guys will ride out of Colorado all across Nebraska. And they will have everything from a smoker
to the kitchen sink
their bike.
Literally the kitchen sink.
Kitchen sink.
Yeah. They will have full on bars that they will pull behind their bikes. It's pretty amazing to see all of the different setups. But a lot of those people, they're all going completely self-contained. They have everything they possibly need on their bike. And so then they can stop wherever they want to. Some of those guys that a lot of our friends on our Ragbri team, we had 26 people, I believe.
Yes, we had 26 this year. Those
15 bagged out and then 11 actually rode the bus out. So we had 15 take off from Des Moines, completely self-contained. And then, so they made it about 100 miles outside of Des Moines and then camped out for about 2 to 3 days in the same town and just hung out at the bar and had a good time and rode around, hung out at camp and just did their own thing.
And then waited for Ragbri to show up.
Ragbri showed up a few days later. And then you also have what I did. I took off behind the baggers and then eventually caught up with them, rode past them, and then rode all the way out to the beginning, which is about 240 miles to get to Sioux City from where I'm at. I was very minimalist. Those guys will have 80 pounds of stuff on their bike, and I had maybe 10.
Yeah, a little more than that.
15?
20-ish.
15 to 20. I don't think it was just that seat bag.
Probably 15.
Yeah. I went very light. I only had a second pair of bibs, a t-shirt, a pair of shorts, an emergency blanket, and my sleeping pad. Other than my normal tools and water bottles and stuff.
To be clear, this was for his bagging part out and back. During the days he was on Ragbri, he had additional clothing on the bus.
Yeah, I had sent a bag with our bus with all of my stuff in it. So that way, once I got to the beginning of the ride, then I didn't need to carry all of my stuff then. And then I treat Ragbri my own way. I'm I enjoy the crowds, but it's a little too much sometimes, and I'd rather just go my own way. And so if I see something cool off to the side, I wander off to the side. If there's too many people, I wander onto the gravel and ride gravel for a while. I also don't ride with our team as much. Our teams, they're quite a bit slower riders. So it doesn't really work out too well for speed-wise to stay with them.
They're a much more party rider than a aggressive bicycle rider. That's not even the right term, but more active.
Our team is a great group of people. They're mostly a little older, mostly not in the greatest shape, but they can still ride a lot of miles.
They've all been doing this for 20 plus rag rides, so they've done their share. They don't have to prove anything to anyone.
Plus, they're also pedaling 100-pound bikes.
Exactly. They've got their beers loaded. They're ready for the afternoon.
That's awesome. So they carry their beer with them, too.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I think the most I've heard was either 56 or 72 beers on a bike.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It was one or the other. I can't remember, but they will be stocked for days.
It's always a question of let's make sure we have enough ice.
Cole, I have a question for you on your mattress. What type of mattress do you have that you carry on your bike? So like a blow up, or is it a pad, or?
Yeah, it's a blow up. It's a climate insulated pad.
Cool.
We actually did we get the double one first?
No, I got mine first, then you got yours, and then we got the double.
So we each have a single one, and then we got a double one so we can sleep together.
What do you think of the double?
We love it.
Nice. I was like looking at it, but I was like, I don't know.
And they have some pretty good deals a lot of times. I ended up randomly coming across mine, and it was just too cheap to pass up. And then they're a really good brand, and I have slept on a lot of really bad surfaces. I've slept on rocks and everything else many times, and it's no problems.
We even have a climate tent now.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
So good brand is climate.
Recommended climate. They're not a sponsor, but if they'd like to be.
Yeah. I'm adding some notes in case when we publish this, if anyone has questions, they're like, oh, I didn't catch that. I'm trying to write down any of those points so that you can take a look, do your own research, and hopefully that'll give you a good starting point. So the last one I had is traveling like with a company. So I know there's a lot of different ones. I didn't even see this myself very much. But I saw some videos of it where people can pay for a company that is not RagRide to help them. And like, right, so they'll go as
charters.
Charters. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And there are several different ones. One of the biggest ones called Pork Belly Venture.
That's the one I heard about. They like set up your tent for you and break it down. And so you just see a bunch of like matching tents. That's them.
Yeah, they have a whole tent city. You get a number for the week. You get your number on your luggage, on your tent, and it gets torn down. It gets set up. It gets moved for you. I think SAG's included. Some of them have massage therapists, etc. But yeah, it's like Cole said, it's about $1,500 per week. But you know what? Some people find it absolutely worth it.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like if you aren't a person that already goes camping, yeah, it's probably worth it if you're only going to do it this one time because they have all of your stuff that you're going to need for the week. You don't have to go out and buy all of that new stuff to only use it that one time or whatever, you know.
you guaranteed that your stuff's going to be there, that your tent's going to be there.
They provide a great service.
That their showers. It's a wonderful service.
Yeah. No, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Cool.
I have several friends who have come in from across the country, and they always work with one of the charters because it's easy for them to fly in. They don't have to send anything in. They bring in just their clothes, their bike. And they even send their bike in, and the bike gets set up because they go through Bike World.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Is there any other methods that we want to talk about on how people ragbri?
So I'd say those are basic methods, really, for getting across the state. Like, the way you ride ragbri is very open.
Yes. That kind of takes you into like how the day-to-day goes. You have your people who ragbri is a race. They wake up 3:30, 4 a.m. They're going to get out on the road. They're going to get to the end of town by 10 o'clock in the morning. They think ragbri is a race and that's what they want to do. Great. That is their version of ragbri.
And they enjoy it. And that's the important thing.
That there are the people who are the extreme opposite, like, you know, we said with Team Bad Boy, that they're going to show up in town 2 days later.
Team Bad Boy stays with. It's Team Ska that
Team
is
Ska behind. Is behind. Okay.
Team Ska is actually their name means self-contained alcoholics. they're a good group of guys, but they'll meet up with ragbri once in a while, but often they're found about a day behind the route, following the route, kind of just doing their own thing.
They tried real hard to make it to our wedding.
Aww.
They rode by about 1 a.m. that night.
And something kind of funny I learned about that. So they, the ragbri route closes towns in the route off after a certain time. Mm-hmm. And so you're allowed to kind of keep going after that, but you no longer have the traffic control or the town set up for you. But it's called riding in the dark side. And I think that's kind of cool.
Well, and the riding in the dark side is when you actually truly do it, it's you stay so far behind the route that it will actually open back up.
Yeah.
You just kind of hide from the state troopers. They're trying to push you out of town. And then an hour or two afterwards, it's like nothing ever happened and it's a party again.
That totally happened to us.
Oh, it did? Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it was a Century Day. And I think just Tuesday. And they're kind of closing down, I think maybe a little aggressively, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just really slow. But we all met back with our friends after the loop at this, oh gosh, what was the town?
So it was at Luther. Yes. And
oh, good.
We got done with the Century Loop. And then we got there. Caitlin was starving. So we got her some food. And then at the food line, I was the last person to get a sandwich at the barbecue place there. And then the sheriff came over, said, they asked the sheriff, hey, can we keep sharing sandwiches? They're like, yep, no problem. And then, but the ragbri officials came over and says, you guys got to shut down. And so they stopped selling sandwiches for like 5 minutes. And then I walked back over and said, hey, can I get another pork sandwich? He's like, hold on. Is Johnny Law still here? Nope. All right. Sandwiches it is.
Yeah.
And then all they had to do was stop selling alcohol, but they could restart selling food. And so once Johnny Law was gone, party's back on.
Well, and they like dumped all their ice things, but then they were starting to fill them back up when we left. So they were going to keep going. But
that's
been
a really, really hot subject the last couple of years is they were actually very aggressive in the way they shut things down for the last handful of years.
Mm-hmm.
And they started getting a lot of flack because a lot of the people that are out there, they're pushing their limits like no other. And it gets dangerous if you're going to turn around and cut off water, food, everything else.
Totally.
And that was what was happening before. And so then they had to change that.
Like 2 years ago, we were riding in Agri, 2 or 3 years ago, and it was 96 degrees out in the middle of the afternoon. And we stopped to get water and Gatorade on a little corner stop. And they kept pushing us along.
Yeah. So it's changed in the last year, basically, because they got quite a bit of flack on that, because it's one thing to cut off the alcohol, that'll push people along no matter what. So then at that point, though, you can't turn around and cut off the things that people actually physically need to get to the next stop.
That water, that food is going to help them move along that much faster.
Yeah, totally.
That was an interesting thing that I found was the beer. Like, it felt like we were constantly eating and drinking both water, Gatorade, even beer, and like never got drunk. I just kept drinking, but you just sweat it out and you just absorb it and like nothing.
You're burning things off so fast.
Yeah. So there was like, do you want a nice craft beer for $5? Do you want 2 Busch Lights for $5? Like, I would like all the Busch Light you have, please. I don't even like Busch Light, but I sure as heck did on Ragbri.
I loved it on Ragbri.
Yeah, it was tasty bread water, and I enjoyed it. So,
I managed to maybe pay for just a couple beers on my one day from Ragbri. I managed to run into people or find my team and get a free beer here and there. It was great.
Nice. Yeah, and like some of those unofficial like house stops, they'll have like a free will donation because you can't sell without a liquor license, and then they might have some beer too for a great price.
Oh, some of the free beer parties have been epic over the years.
So awesome.
One a couple of years ago. I kept hearing one of my friends plays in a band, actually, and I knew he was going to play on Ragbri somewhere, but he's like, oh, it's a private party, but if you're around, you'll know.
It was on the route.
Like, it was literally on the route, but wandered out, and we kept hearing about a party, and I guess they had like, I think it was 5 pallets of Busch Light delivered to this party. But we rolled in and it's like, okay, this team's throwing a party here, cool. And as we were going in, all of a sudden I heard the singer. I was like, wait a second, this is my friend's band playing this party.
Well, you had to kind of wind your way down the driveway, so
probably almost a quarter mile down the driveway to get to the house. And then they had a huge lake or pond out back,
deep enough to swim in,
with actual pool in the middle of it. And 1,500 people in the backyard, and a huge stage and everything else, and just literally giving away free beer. They were giving away 5 pallets full of Busch Light.
It's awesome. I think Barb had mentioned to us that she ran into something like that. Now, I don't know if it was quite as epic, but she's like, yeah, if you just kept going, they had a pool and it was amazing, but it was this year on Tuesday as well.
It was a pretty epic street party, gravel road bridge party that day.
Monday.
Yeah, on Monday, if you actually went off, it was off route on the regular route, or it was on route for the gravel route that day.
Okay.
And so it was right on the gravel road underneath the trestle bridge, kind of. And it was Tall Dogs. And so it was 2 different teams.
I don't remember the other.
Cockroach.
Yes.
It was Team Cockroach and the Tall Dogs.
That's a great name.
But they had a massive, massive party down there. About the only thing the state troopers did with that one is tell everybody to get off the railroad tracks.
So every day on the route, there's also a bunch of consistent sites you'll see. My favorite was Monsieur Pork Chop, or Mr. Pork Chop for the locals. So every day, not quite halfway. It was usually between two major stopping towns. So they had Mr. Pork Chop and Sassy's Frozen Lemonade. And those are two of our favorites. I really like the Pork Chop. And of course, that's also where the $5 Busch Lights are. And then our friend really enjoyed the Sassy's Frozen Lemonade. She said that was her favorite thing in the whole route.
And Mr. Pork Chop's really cool. It's one of the smells of Ragbri, because they actually they cook it over burning corn cobs, and so that smoke from those corn cobs is just wafting over the highway as you're rolling through.
Yeah, you can see, so, as you're getting closer. I'm like, we're getting there.
And if you don't stop one day, you're probably going to stop another day because you smelled it as you went through and like, I'm not hungry right now, but I need to stop tomorrow.
Like on a 7-day rag ride for me, I get at least one day. Like best is when we sit down and split it.
And you stopped it every day. We were all 3 days.
My only suggestion.
We did. We were excited because we weren't sure if it would be in the first half of the last day, but it was. So.
And then Beekman's ice cream is another super popular stop. Our brother, well, Caitlin's sister's husband, so our brother-in-law. He's from or lives in Colorado, and he specifically asked if we stopped at Beekman's ice cream. He's like, it's probably the best slow churned ice cream you're ever going to have your whole life. And so it is quite noteworthy.
And then also the Iowa Brew Bus.
Or is it Bergman's? Oh boy. No.
It's Beekman's.
Is it? Okay. I was like, I think it's Beekman's, but now I'm thinking it's Bergman's. Oh no.
You're thinking Body by Bergman.
Oh yeah, we camped with that team.
Yeah, several times. So that's why I was thinking about that, because they were one of our friend teams. Anyway.
Yeah, so also the Iowa Brew Bus. I'm probably saying that wrong. But they're also somewhere every day too. And we drove by or biked by it, but I think was Wednesday that we actually stopped and they had the record sign. Yes, because that was the day they were going for the record. So that was cool.
Oh, that's what that line was for.
It was to sign the sign.
Sign for the record number of people coming through.
No.
We were by there. We did not stop and do that.
We didn't stop long. I think we shared a beer and signed the sign and then we were off, but I was like, oh wait, that sounds cool. Let's see what it is. It was worth the half of your stop.
Multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped at the Iowa craft beer tent like twice through the week, maybe three times.
The best part of Rack Rye is it's an eating and drinking game to me. You stop every few miles, eat something, stop a few miles later, you drink something, eat something, repeat.
And if you don't, you'll get yourself in trouble because you won't have enough calories. So you are.
Yeah, I did that.
You need to do that.
You have to eat and drink.
It's like you're going to the state fair and getting to eat all of that food, except you get to eat it over and over again and eat all of the things you like. And you need to do it because otherwise you might be in trouble.
Yeah, I felt like I was kind of being a fat kid or a chunky boy, because I would stop every town we went to and I'd get a sandwich or two. And it was like, I'm eating a lot.
Three in one.
Yeah, so I would like get two sandwiches or something. And it was mainly meat sandwiches was my primary diet. Some sort of animal product between two slices of some sort of bread or pizza, which is just an open-faced meat sandwich, really. And so that's what I would eat, just a bunch and just keep going. But I never got like felt too fatigued doing that, and it was great. So nutrition is important. We also had a lot of those gummies, those energy gummies, so that kind of got us through in between. We always had bee sticks in our little pouch. Pocket hot dogs, it's a joke, but also you never know when you need a pocket hot dog.
Yeah, that's true. I'm glad we brought those.
And also one of the other places that you have to bring up is when we go through all these small towns, a lot of the towns are trying to fundraise for everything from the kids' softball uniforms to the new church steeple to just every little different thing.
To the new fire truck.
Yeah. There was one place that they needed a new library because they'd outgrown their old library. And so a lot of those places, like a lot of nonprofits will set up their own little stands and sell their own baked goods or sell waters and Gatorades and stuff. And so this year it was my big concentration to go to those places and not the normal Ragbri vendors that go along that are basically just coming in to make money, which I have nothing wrong with that. But it was just something I wanted to try this year. And so I ate so many random little baked goods and pieces of pie from some church lady in some little town. It was awesome.
Some bomb banana bread. So good.
I ate a whole loaf of banana bread one day.
Got us beat. I had a really big slice.
Yeah, I don't know how many wrestling teams we supported or other such teams or Cub Scout troops and Boy Scout troops. And it's like, all right, go get your jerseys or your singlets. Good.
And with all of the vendors and everything, a lot of times this year being the 50th year, there was just a massive crowd. So there was a lot of really long lines. I'm not much one to stand in lines for very long. And so that was another reason I would like to go to some of the small town vendors, because then they had no lines there and they need the money. Or you could turn around and there's a couple of days where I looked on my maps and there was a grocery store 2 blocks north. And so I could just ride my bike over to the grocery store instead and go in and have anything I wanted in the grocery store for cheaper than what I would have paid for an overpriced vendor, you know, charging me $13 for a hot dog.
Yeah.
You know? The,
yeah. What was that pizza place we stopped at? It was really good. They're giant pieces of pizza.
Fornos?
Slater?
I know it was the very first town. Jefferson? First, Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that the closer you got to a bigger city, the prices started getting bigger and bigger. So like the first couple towns we were in, we were like Jefferson and Carroll, and like we can get a pulled pork sandwich, which is very popular, pulled pork sandwich for like $5. It came with a bag of chips and a water. And then you got closer to Des Moines, you got a little bit more. And by the time you're in Des Moines, $17, you got a little cup of mac and cheese with a with a sprinkling of zest of brisket. So it's like, okay.
That was at the Led Zeppelin concert.
Leonard Skinner
concert.
A little bit farther to Newton, where Cole discovered the most amazing deli.
Oh, yeah. There was a little deli off the square in Newton, and you had to wait a little while in line because it was right off the square, so there were a lot of riders there. But it was a very excellent deli, and it was something different from a lot of the other normal food you would find.
Like, I can't wait to go back.
You never thought you'd say that about Newton. Ooh.
Yeah, we've like
there are two reasons to go there now.
Grandpa lives in Newton.
And the brewery.
Yes.
And the new brewery.
Zelig.
Yeah, there's another brewery that's supposed to be opening.
Oh yeah.
Like across the way from Zelig.
Weird.
Zelig was so cool too. So I had heard about it ahead of time because they did a podcast with different breweries coming up and Big Grove and everything. And Zelig just had such a great variety of beer and like a lot of things I knew Brian would like. So I was excited about that because he's not a big IPA guy. I love IPAs, but they had.
Did he have the watermelon sour?
He just walked away. Come back. I even had a weird beer. I had like a cream ale because it sounded so good and it was great. And then I had a very, like, a 5-ounce pour of their stout because I was like, I'm not in a stout mood, but I need to try your stout.
So apparently we have connections with brewer.
Cool.
And owner, brewer.
And it's a woman-owned business, right? No?
Yeah. There's a female owner involved.
Okay.
But the guy brought over, we have a connection with him on our team, and he brought over like a couple cases of beer, and so we had a bunch of selling beer on our bus that day.
That's awesome. Brian's back. Brian ran away. He brought the beers, though. He left for a reason. Kelsey wants to know if you tried the watermelon sour.
I did.
Okay. What do you think?
That was one that tasted like pure watermelon. Yeah, it was watermelon juice. It was good. I was like, oh. Good. Yeah, I'm a ho-hum on watermelon, so it tasted like watermelon. So if you like watermelon, it's amazing. If you don't, it's still pretty good.
They have some really good beers there. Ever since they first started out, they kind of came out firing, and all of their beers have been really good. They have quite a few that lean towards the lighter side, lagers and Hefeweizens and stuff like that.
You may have said this already, and it's a all female owned business, which is great to support, as that's not.
I think the brewer is a dude, though. I think.
I'm not sure. We'll have to figure that out.
I know when I was listening to the podcast about the different breweries, though, they said it was male owned, but
I thought I saw a car, but
I know it is in some way, but there might be.
In case you do want to Google it, Zelig, which I'm saying the best I can, is spelled GEZELLIG. So if you're looking it up later, it, at least for me, I'm like, I can't look at it and say it right, but
yeah, it doesn't look how it sounds.
The G is an H.
Yes, Zelig.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, the G is an H.
And it was so cool to see more Newton. Like, we go to Newton every so often. Because Brian's grandpa and aunt lives there. Mm-hmm. And we always just go to Pizza Ranch or Culver's. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look at how amazing this town is. Yeah, let's
brewing for him now. Okay.
He's the one that they know.
Okay, so we know the brewer, Joe. Can I tell a side story about watermelon?
Heck yes.
So my mom decided that we needed to make watermelon cosmos the night after she rode Rag Rye, because yes, my parents came out on Rag Rye this year for a day.
Very cool.
My mom falls in the category of let's race Rag Rye. She's very go go go, let's see how fast, nobody is as fast as me, look at me go. She had a great time. I want to take her out again next year, perhaps slow her down a little, make her stop and eat and drink. But they had a great time, but I went out and hung out with them afterwards, and we decided to make watermelon cosmos, which ended up just being like chunks of floaty weird watermelon and vodka.
What a good story, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Kind of backpedaling, but something I did want to mention, and we've kind of touched on it. We've been talking about doing the entire Rag Rye, but you can just decide to do sections like Brian and I said. So like we met the team on Tuesday night, camped Monday night, and then started riding on Tuesday. So if you're maybe overwhelmed by going for the whole thing, you can do portions. And not even be out there the whole week. Say you have 2 days of PTO and that's it.
Lots of day riders.
Portions. Yes.
Yeah, day wristband if you want, and just come join for the day.
And even if, excuse me, even if that single day seems like a lot, like a lot of people when they're recreational riders, they're going to look at, well, I can do like a 10-mile ride or a 12-mile ride. But that's about as much as I really want to do at a time. Well, Rag Rye, with all these stops, with all the random farms you'll stop at, with all the towns in between, because Iowa isn't very far in between towns most of the time. With that, it's not a 60-mile day. It's 6 10-mile rides in between beers. So you break that day down, and it becomes a lot more manageable.
I will admit, this is the year I've had with the least amount of training in a long time. I have not ridden my bike a whole lot this year. I had just over 700 miles, just broken not even broken 700 miles before going on Rag Ride this year. And I ended up riding my longest ride on my one day of Rag Ride so far for the year. I was incredibly happy with it.
I read an article that says if you can ride 20 miles, that's all you need. Because if you can ride 20, you can ride 30. If you can ride 30, you can ride 50. If you can ride 50, you can ride a day at Rag Bri.
Well, and going into my first Rag Bri was 2014. At that time, like, I rode quite a bit of miles, but I never rode very far ever. The longest day I'd ever had up until my first day at Rag Bri was 40 miles. And then the first day of Rag Bri, I'll never forget, it was like 67 miles. And so that first day was the longest day I'd ever been on a bike. And then the next day was a little longer. And then I think it was the third day that year, third or fourth day that year was the century day. So you could have the optional loop for 100 miles. And I ended up with about 105 miles. So I went from the longest I had ever ridden in an entire day of 40 miles to a week later, it was 105 miles.
That's awesome.
Rag Ride definitely puts people in a position to push themselves to something that they haven't gotten themselves capable of doing.
It's also a really amazing place. And the first place I remember learning, you cannot judge other people by their body types. You look over, and I remember, like, I was physically in very good shape. I hadn't ridden a whole lot of miles, but I was in good shape. And I made the mistake the first few days of looking over and judging somebody by the fact that, to be quite honest, they were at least 100 pounds overweight. And then they would pass me going up hills and just chug right along and keep going and going and going. And so it was very cool to actually see that and just be humbled by it, really. This year, it was kind of cool because I got to meet a woman named Marley Blonsky. She actually started a group called All Bodies on Bikes. And so she flatly says she's a fat woman. She is one that she wants to take the stigma away from it. She's like, I am who I am, but I can still do this. And so it's been kind of fun to watch her throughout her riding career so far and the kind of the barriers she's broken. But it was really cool to actually get to meet her on Rag Bri for a bit.
That's awesome. Yes. Real quick though, one thing we've kind of referenced but we have not named yet is we keep talking about the extra loop. That is the Karis loop.
Named after John Karis.
One of the original.
He was one of the first
riders.
The co-founder.
Co-founder. There we go. So in case, just so you're aware. So Karis, K-A-R-R-A-S. But Brian and I are kind of thirsty. So do we want to try a beverage too?
Yes, we've got ours poured.
Oh, nice. So Brickway Brewery. This is a coffee vanilla stout. And it is part of their session series, which makes me like them even more. I love session beers because I can drink more.
I like that the sign says celebrate, commiserate, commemorate.
Beer for and this one is 5.2% ABV.
Pretty low for a stout.
Mm-hmm. I'm not... I probably have had a session stout but not realized it.
It's kind of a cool looking buffalo thing.
Oh yeah.
They've been producing this one for years.
Oh yeah, this one's been around for a long time.
This is actually the first beer I had from this company.
Did we get this one together?
Quite lovely.
I had it a long time ago.
Yeah, this one's definitely the first one I had from them as well. It's a really good vanilla, nice and light.
I love the phrase session, by the way. It just means you can drink a lot. And I like to use it in other terms. Like, I'm going to go full session on these chicken strips. It's a very sessionable food snack.
I'm getting the vanilla. I'm getting the coffee. I think it's nice and balanced. It's got a nice maltiness to it. Yeah, it's wonderful. I love this beer.
Feels a little bit lighter than normal stout too. Like normally they're just too heavy for me and I don't enjoy that. Pretty good. It's like a little bit lighter than normal. So
it doesn't sit there very long. Like it doesn't linger too long. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point. Which as much as I love a meal.
Knitting, is it sessionable knitting?
Oh, we are using that. Yes.
This is very sessionable pattern.
We are on to something awesome. I am excited about this. Yeah, so we had kind of talked about beginning of the episode, talking about everyone's journey through Ragbri this year. So Cole or Kelsey, would you like to start us off with this particular year?
This year was a very short year for me on Ragbri. I would say I observed a lot of Ragbri this year, which was all right. I had traveled for volleyball the week prior and came home late Sunday night. So day zero of Ragbri is usually on Saturday. Well, it's always Saturday. And I came home late Sunday. And I joined up with Ragbri Monday night and camped with our team. That was an interesting evening. I picked up a teammate from the ER. Mm-hmm. I had friends. It was a good night. I could barely breathe. I was sick. I picked up a bug when I was in Florida. Whether, you know, I was shaking hands, I was in and out of the convention center on airplanes, you name it, whatever it was. But that left me feeling like crap as far as Ragbri went. And I wasn't even sure that I was going to ride at all. I hadn't been eating much or drinking much. I started off in a big deficit. And like we've started at the top of the episode saying how important it is to eat and drink your way across Ragbri. It did not work very well for me. Cole was very... very, very, very helpful in making sure I survived. So I started riding on Wednesday of Ragbri, which was from Ames to Des Moines, which was a 50-mile day on the route. But my ride ended up being right at 60 miles. We started north of the route at my parents' house. And then I rode to our house outside of Des Moines. And I did not eat much that morning or drink much that morning. And by the time we got to the first town, I was absolutely miserable. I was about ready to pull the plug, call it quits. But it took me a good hour sitting in the shade, drinking water, drinking Gatorade, eating ice pops, anything I can do to just get it together to go on to the next stop.
Oh.
So this is where eating and drinking is very, very important. But also knowing your limits is also really important. It's okay to say it's okay to not ride anymore.
Of course.
But it has actually really turned out to be a really, really great day. So after we established my very low point, we kind of figured out how we were going to conquer the day, and by finding whatever I could to eat and drink and hop from shade to shade, water stop to water stop. And I rode through every water that anyone that was spraying.
And then the best in Ankeny.
Oh my goodness, the best part of Ragri. And this is definitely, so I started out on the low, but it was definitely a top five Ragri day ever. We did up in Ankeny at the splash pad.
Nice.
So we spent a good 20 plus minutes playing around in the splash park, just playing in the water, playing on all the different things, and just enjoying it and cooling down. And it was great. Oh, that's good.
It was a welcome relief for me after being hot for a few days.
Oh, man. This year was a very hot, very humid, very, very hot Ragri. There were lots of extra people out and about, and the weather compounded it, and just everyone struggled, whether you're a seasoned rider or not.
On top of this year was actually one of the tougher years overall. I think it was sixth
hardest,
sixth hilliest, and sixth longest out of the 50 years.
So yeah, that's kind of my Ragri. That night I ended up riding to my house out of Ankeny and not going all the way to Des Moines. Then the next day, since we got to sleep in our own bed that night, I woke up a little bit later, got going a little bit later, but just drove my car over to join the team and wait in the meetup town the next day. And then went on to join them again in the overnight town for a while.
Nice.
I got to hang out with everyone. It was kind of fun. I think that's my Ragri.
Do we want to do Cole or Brian and Caitlin next?
I don't care.
Why don't we go Brian and Caitlin?
Okay.
So like I said, this is our first time. So we'd been, I don't want to say we've been training, but we do bike ride every day. So the distances vary anywhere from 3 miles to 30 miles. So conditioning, we were pretty good shape. We rode with a couple friends of ours who have not been riding at all this year. They've been on their bike exactly twice the whole year. They also have a newborn son. So that's mainly why. But
it's a big difference.
Yeah. And he's
5 months old.
And the team that we were with was called Wasted Motion because they love to party and they don't start riding until like 9 a.m., which is way late. I feel like the team name should be called Burning Daylight some days because we're just like, all right, let's just waste all of the cool hours on sleeping. They also will stay up until 3 a.m., no problem. Just drinking, hanging out. So yeah, they're definitely a party team, but they're a lot of fun and they welcomed us in pretty quick, which is great.
Yeah, they're a really good team.
So yeah, we rode and I think we had a pretty good clip going out. Yeah, nutrition is a big part of it. We also learned all the hand, I think on last episode you guys were talking about your hand signals. So we learned a lot of those, got pretty familiar with those pretty quick. The rumbles. Yeah, we're shaking our hands like we're saying iffy. Yeah. And then also very quickly learned what a draft line is and the amazingness of that, because I jumped in one of those. It's like, this is so much easier. It felt like Finding Nemo and you jump in the current and all of a sudden you're not doing any work, but you're going super fast. It was great.
Well, you're still working.
Oh, yeah. But... And then the other couple, his name is Matt Renee. So Matt and I were in there and all of a sudden we lost our wives. And he's like, we'll get him at the next town. We can't get out of this. And so we stayed in and we just rode the current the whole way to the next town.
It was so windy. I'm like, I don't blame you guys. But Renee and I were just like, oh no. Like, it was only like 5 or 6 miles until the next town, and it was a very long 5-6 miles.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, I'll say that the few minutes I hopped on a pace line that day I was out there was great.
I think the thing I enjoyed or thought was the most interesting was all the different types of bikes. You mentioned the different types of people. The different types of bikes was just astounding. So there were recumbent bikes, double recumbent bikes. There were the regular sitting down bikes. There were regular manual bikes, road bikes, gravel bikes, e-bikes.
We had a couple that was a tandem couple in our team.
And like all the kids that were doing, and they were like tandem kids. And
trailers.
And there was one dude, the most respect he will, of any of the rider, he gets it. He was on a manual road bike, and he had a double tandem Wehoo behind him with both kids. And on attached to that was a burly trailer. So he was pulling easily 150 pounds of pure human behind him. And that dude was just going up hills and down hills. And that dude was a monster.
The train.
Yeah, it was fun. So the Karis Loop was cool. I'm really glad we did it. It was mostly like, I won't say flat, but like rolling hills. But there was like this build up to bigger and bigger. And it felt like more uphill on the bigger and bigger. And at the very end, there was a, the fire department, like they had like an ambulance up there and like a whole team, and they gave everyone waters. And they were like super fun just hanging out at the top of the hill. And just a bunch of people were stopping and hanging out. And I think Brian gave someone his chain breaker.
Yes, right? So all the gear that Caitlin mentioned of having, we brought, but we never actually used it ourselves. So Caitlin helped a guy who had zero equipment with him change a tire, gave him an extra tube and a...
He had a tire lever.
Oh, he had a tire lever. Yes.
And but he did say my tire pump is the best one that he's used.
So he got to use a tire pump, a new tube. And then we also helped another dude with a chain breaker because he had to fix a chain. And so like all of our gear was used, just not by us. So, I mean,
maybe next time it will be us.
Yeah. So. And then
you know what? I would rather use my stuff on somebody else's bike than my own.
For sure. Don't worry. The karma has come back where all of my bikes have broken since then. I've gotten fixed.
Last week. Brian has broken two of his bikes.
I had a tube literally explode yesterday. That was fun. Sound like a shotgun. That was fun. Side note. Also, the United States Air Force cycling team was near us at all times. And so it was fun to interact with them and kind of give them guff from the Army's perspective. And I dropped behind a couple of them. They're like, what are you doing back there? It's like, Air Force, lead the way. Army's got you. We're behind you all the way. And so they're fun guys. They didn't take themselves too seriously.
And you have an Army jersey?
They're fun people.
I don't have an Army jersey. Yes, they were a fun fun team to be around.
Yeah, they were all awesome.
They are so awesome. They all choose to be out there, right?
Yeah,
they all choose to be out there. It's not that they're sponsored by the Army.
That's why I was
to bring their own money towards tubes and et cetera. And
there was a record amount out there this year. I think it was 170 or 180.
171. Yep.
Yeah.
And a lot of rank came with them. So there was a lot of.
I was sad because the storm that came through Coralville area stopped them from being able to do the 2x2 into the in town. It is one of the coolest things to see those guys, all 170 of them, come in 2x2, led into the final finish and stuff. It's really cool to see.
What a bummer, though.
Their main part of Rag Rai is to be out there and be that kind of support angel to help encourage people along the way, to help with tools, to help with service.
So many of them stopping.
From what I've heard, that part of their agreement to come to Rag Rai is they cannot pass people that are off to the side with repairs. Like, that is part of their thing, is they have to stop. If no one stopped, they have to stop.
That's great. And it showed. So yeah, because when we helped the other person, they asked us if, like, you guys good? Like, give me the old thumbs up, and they kept going. So we'll say, I don't remember what our best part of Ragbri was this year. I know what the worst one was, and
you cannot say that.
What?
No, it was an adventure.
My personal least favorite part was the forced three mile gravel ride. Just before
say that on this podcast
for Colfax. I sure can.
You rode the wrong bike, didn't you?
I wasn't planning on bringing my gravel centric bike. I was planning to be on road, so I brought my right tool for the right job.
Gravel bike is far more comfortable.
Awesome. Let me bite mine. I don't have one. I have my fat bike, and I have my road bike, and I have my e-bike. I have sectors here. But funny enough, so there was a hot, hilly, humid day, and it was very sunny. And there was
a
3 mile stretch of unplanned gravel because there was a bridge out.
It was planned if you had been paying attention.
Yeah, it was. It was unplanned. Not in the original plan, is what Brian's saying. But then the bridge was out, and so it was the only way to get into the town.
Yep. In order to keep Colfax the original town on there, they had to do that because when they did the original plan in January, it was not planning on being out. And then they decided to redo the bridge and have it done before school. So they had it out. Funny side note about the top of that hill. That was my aunt who was in town from San Diego. They found that same back road when they got lost over by Newton. And that was next to...
They
didn't
get lost. They just had to go that way because the bridge was out.
Yes, of course. Excuse me. So at the end of that, at the top, that was their neighbor's house growing up was at the top. So they lived right next to it. And that was...
Their house burned down, though.
Yeah. So that's where their house was when she was 3 years old, was at the top of that house. So where we stopped at the top of the hill, I was like, oh, we were right next to where you grew up. That's fun.
Yeah, that whole section could have been a whole lot worse. It was actually really nice compared to what it could have been. If that would have been a different county, you would have really hated it.
I think that's what really did it. The gravel part, the traction wasn't the issue. I think it was more, there are hills, I'm hot, I'm humid, I'm not stable. My bike is not stable. I'm fine. The bike is not stable.
It was really cool at the top of the like final hill of it, I'd say. Because like there was a little teeny hill and then you were on pavement, so I'm not counting that. But they had like the person that lived at that house had like two hoses out and everyone's just hanging out in their yard. And like I just sprayed myself, like my whole self. And it was amazing. So I don't know. Iowa really shows up for this race, and I think that's so cool. Because in the day-to-day you don't think about like there's all these awesome people who show up, man. It's awesome. So that was, yeah, definitely the hilliest day, I think, was Thursday for us of the 3 days we did it, or 2.5 days.
You should have seen the other half.
Yeah, I did look at like the Ragbri website and saw it, and I was like, oh, it's just going to get worse. And I kept waiting to figure out which hill was the one that was like straight up, straight down on the diagram. I don't know which one it was, but there's some big monsters.
You definitely chose the right part of that day to ride.
And I was like, wow, this is a hard day. But let's see, what else did we want to talk about on ours? So with that in mind, I figured since we have all these great experienced bikers here, I would like to know how you gear up for a hill and how do you approach a hill? I came up with my own method, but like most of my biking is around town. So I don't really deal with hills. And I know I approach rolling hills different than I do just doing a hill. But I would love to hear your thoughts.
So you're talking like going from a flat to a hill from hill to hill?
Yeah. I think the best advice I got was gear down before you think you have to. So that you're not straining your legs. Like for me, I am a smasher. So I can probably always gear down. And so that helped me sustain throughout a hill. But I don't actually know.
So how I approach hills, Iowa's mostly rolling hills for the most part, depending on the steepness, how bad they are. But they're mostly rolling hills. all of the ragbri routes, for the most part, they're true rollers. They'll only get up to about 5 to 6% grade. Sometimes they'll get a little steeper than that, but not for long. Those kind of hills, it's really good to try and use your momentum and like use your weight to your advantage. Use the hills to your advantage. So personally, I start putting in power to my pedals sooner than a lot of people do. I will actually start powering down at the very bottom of the hill. And then a lot of times I'll coast through the middle a little bit, but I will catch as much speed as I can easily off that bottom of that hill. And then before I hit the bottom of the next hill, I'm already built up so much extra speed over what a lot of people have done, because a lot of people have literally just coasted through that entire thing. When I pick up that extra speed, I will hit the bottom of that hill extremely hard, but I've trained myself as more of an endurance rider rather than an explosive rider. So as soon as my heart rate rises, I drop it back all the way. So I'll start off the bottom of the hill, pushing a lot of power on big gears, turning very slow motion, but then I will drop it very quickly. So I'll spin faster and faster and faster. And then by the time I'm 2/3 of the way up the hill, I'm in first gear, second gear, something like that, just spinning nice and easy, unless it's a shorter hill to where I can keep pushing over the top of it. It just makes it so you don't have to put in nearly the amount of effort. Like, it just, it's a massive difference. Kelsey, can it?
I have breathing issues that I have to deal with. So for me, looking at where my heart rate is and can I breathe? Am I not wheezing? Those are the kind of things I actually look at as far as how I approach hills. It is very important for me to be able to breathe at the top of the hill so that I'm not wasting all my time at the top or afterwards recovering. Finding that balance of going hard at the bottom while maintaining breathing at the top is what I've been really focusing on the last couple of years. So bringing that extra, any extra speed, any extra momentum I can bring into a hill, whether it's coming off a flat or coming down another hill, I'll use whatever I can to project me up that next hill. Focusing on that continued, like, try to keep an even cadence. So whether it's the same, keeping that cadence the same and then shifting down to keep it there and keeping that same breath, same rhythm, same thing. Just keep chugging along.
Thanks.
And I power punch as hard as I can down that hill, similar to what Cole was saying. I will put it in the highest gear I can. I will go as fast as I can down the hill. And then about a third of the way up the next hill. So I'm never coasting through. I'm just punching as hard as I can. And then go a third of the way up that next hill. Gear down, couple more strokes. Gear down, couple more strokes. Gear down, couple more strokes. So I'm essentially the same resistance on my pedals.
Mm-hmm.
Just as I go up higher in elevation and incline, it's just getting a little bit faster spin, a little bit easier on the pressure. I know a lot of times Keelan and I would start at the same top and then we just meet at the next time or at the next hill. And like, we have different techniques of attacking the hill and they both worked, I think, pretty well. Neither of us were like gassed at the top.
Yeah. That was the goal, is to not be gassed at the top.
The only time I was really gassed is when I raced past someone downhill and I was worried they were going to catch me on the uphill and make me look like a fool. And they would be like, ah, I got you, sucker. And so like, all right, I got to like give it all I can so not like look a fool. So that was the only time I would really gas myself out out of pure pride and ego. And that was it.
Yeah, I think my bike is extremely efficient. Like if I coast and Brian coasts, I'm faster, but I get a little nervous. So
that's where if you can go fast enough to the point where you don't have to put that work in, you have that time period to coast that takes that work out of it. Like it gives you that moment of, hey, I can breathe, I can relax. I'm going to save my legs for that little bit and then hammer. So it's kind of nice.
Nice. I thought we kind of were close. I appreciate it. So I think, Cole, it's time to hear about your adventure. Except for I have to pee, but I can catch up.
I took a little bit more of an adventure than just Ragbri. I decided to ride out from Des Moines, which is in the middle of the state, out to the beginning, which is about 240 miles. Ride the 500 miles plus across the state, and then ride home. So I took off on Friday mid-morning and rode 128 miles the first day and then about 111 the second day to get out to the start. And then I joined up with my team and camped with them each night and then just rode the route through the rest of the week and then started riding home and then ended up eating some bad food. And that kind of derailed that whole thing. But throughout the week, I ended up with about 960 miles. So it was a long week. I got a lot of time alone, a lot of time with people. I kind of got to do whatever I wanted, ride the days however I wanted, like the Century Day. I basically just got up early, knocked out the first 80 miles, and then that was by about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I spent the rest of the day drinking beer and enjoying myself in the last 20 miles and had a great time.
And then I picked you up.
Yeah.
And you're home.
And Kelsey finally picked me up about 50 miles or so from home.
Mm-hmm. I see. We were following along with you on Strava. Like, oh, what did he ride today? It's kind of fun to follow and see how, especially like your last day. You're like, you went from Coralville, Devonport, and then down around to like, I don't know, Muscatine or something, and then just kept going. It's like, oh, he turned an 80-mile day into a 150-mile day. Good for him.
Yeah, it's so cool to see other people's adventures. So I'm glad we followed you on there to see you.
It's kind of funny. So Cole has a group, the Iowa Gravel Project, and there's a guy that posted in there, and he's like, I went out to do a Cole Ledbetter today. I was going to ride in Ragbri and ride home. And then I go to post it, and I see that I've been out cold by Cole Ledbetter.
That's awesome.
He said it was his first century since he was in high school. And then I turned around and posted a 155-mile ride instead.
Yeah, it's nice that the Ragbri daily route was just a nice rest day for you. So, oh, we're only going to hit 50 miles. Great. So I'll just go back and forth. And
but on the 50-mile day.
Yeah, on the day from Ames down to Des Moines, it was supposed to be 56 miles or something, I think. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with 91.
Nice.
That day. So I do a lot of extra riding just because I want to go see all the things and I have the legs to do it. So, and Ragbri is kind of my fun week. I get to kind of get all of my miles in, but I don't have to be serious about it. But at the same time, I get to have fun because there's other people that are pretty serious about it. And so it's kind of fun to mess with them. So I like to chase down people who think they're fast and then have fun with them for a while and then eventually leave them. So I found a few people that could play throughout the week. And I had one guy, one of the few that I've had back me down finally, but it was funny because he backed me down. We were running mid 20 mile an hour, 25, 26 mile an hour, pretty consistent for miles after miles after miles. And finally, I backed down for a little bit because I needed to catch my breath a bit. And then caught my breath within 30 seconds and then started hammering on it, trying to catch up to him again, and finally caught up to him and just looked at him and smiled. And he's just kind of looks over at me like, how are you caught up to me again? Partially because he was on a road bike with very small, very efficient wheels, and I'm on basically a mountain bike. So it was a lot of fun playing with people.
Nice.
Well, what do you think? Should we wrap things up? Do we want
to? Yeah. I think one thing I had also is there's some great people to like follow for resources. I don't know all of them, but one I saw was Drunk Brian. And that website's pretty entertaining.
Not me.
Yeah, not my husband.
Drunk Brian is a good resource for knowing the bars and the things that are happening on Ragra.
Yes. Yeah, like events and things.
He's also a blast.
Drunk Brian is a very fun person.
And I enjoyed, like, his articles were funny. Or posts. I don't know how to say it, but.
Definitely his posts are funny.
Yeah, so just something kind of fun to check out. And then I have like a packing list that I might link of what I brought. From what we gathered, we're more minimal than some of the other people in our group, but maybe that's just because they've done it before and knew how much space they could take up. And I didn't want to be like the person coming with the giant bag, which we did have someone with the giant bag. And then I found out there were two of them. And we're like, oh, our one bag is smaller than your giant bag for two people. But yeah.
I don't know. I try to pack on the minimal side usually.
I've packed less and less each year. Mm-hmm. Like I used to pack like a different outfit for like every night going out and stuff. It's pointless. Bring like two shirts and two shorts. Like you aren't going to go out that much. And if you do, who cares if you're in the same clothes? You're wearing them for like a few hours.
Oh, yeah, like your walk-around clothes?
Yeah.
Do you plan a different, like, pair of shorts and shirt for biking every day?
For the most part.
Might rewash bibs if necessary. But...
yeah. But then again, I'm also, like, if you go for a long, long distance, next thing you know, you've been in bibs for a few hundred miles.
So I'm curious, Caitlin. On your first entry, you insisted that you needed to change shorts. Did you on this one?
No, but I did the next day, oddly. Or, yeah, there was one day where I switched shorts because they were available.
Nice.
No, you know what I did? I did. I switched shorts at the first town, but we ran into our bus, so I didn't need to carry them.
Nice. Dr. Jefferson.
Yeah. So I guess I did. I don't know.
I was just curious.
That brought up the longest I'd been in a pair of bibs at a time. I think it was almost 400 miles.
Oof.
A long time.
That's impressive.
Not necessarily a good thing. It is good for things to breathe.
Yes.
Yes.
Also, though, on that trip, every night I was in things that let everything breathe.
It's party moo-moo, of course. Yes.
That should... if that isn't a thing on Ragbrite, it needs to be.
Our bus driver has a party moo moo.
Yeah.
Nice. I don't blame him. I might have to join him next year.
We had a new bus driver. He was pretty awesome this year.
Nice.
And he was a bike mechanic, so.
Perfect.
Right.
I would say the biggest takeaway is, as Baz Luhrmann once said, wear sunscreen.
Definitely. Nothing
is more important than sunscreen, other than water, but sunscreen is a close second.
And if you're anti-sunscreen, some form of sun protection. Like I saw some people with the sleeves, like whatever, just, yeah. If you get sunburned the first day, it's not going to be fun.
You know, there are some people that will wear the big brimmed helmets. I'm not against those.
I looked at those. They were more pricey than what I wanted, but yeah, they serve a good purpose.
Take one out of cardboard.
Oh, that'd be great. You can make it out of a Busch Light box.
There you go.
I didn't realize we were all sophomores at Iowa State. That's fun.
Rag Bray, same difference.
Pretty much.
I think that's why people get upset about Rag Bray, is because they're just jealous that we're all acting like kids and on adult camp basically all week and just having fun.
To me, it's camp on bikes. It's summer camp on bikes.
Yeah. I just say it's a rolling festival. It's a 7-day rolling festival across the state where you actually have to ride your bike.
I think that's all I've got. Any other thoughts?
Rag Ride's fun. Come join us.
All right. I feel like knit all the things is probably not the right thing. What about like bike all the things?
We can bike.
All the things?
Nailed it.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and on Tap as Gravel Knits. Our website is gravelknits.com. You can email us at gravelknits@gmail.com, and you can also support us on Patreon. And Brian and Cole, are there any social media plugs you want to throw in?
Sure, you can follow me and see all the pictures of our son at brian.lloyd, that's BryanDotLlOyd. I'm on the Instagrams.
And Cole?
You can easily find me Iowa Gravel Project Facebook page, which is a group, or Iowa Gravel Project on Instagram.
Perfect.
You can find me, Kelsey, on Ravelry and Instagram as Bikes Brews Use, and on Tap as Kelsey J.
You can find me, Caitlin, on Ravelry and Instagram as Caitlin N. Lloyd. And I also have a second Instagram account. I did change the name. It's Caitlin Knits and Bikes. It's a little shorter than it used to be.
Gravel Knits believes everyone deserves to be included in love, regardless of who you love, beliefs, color, size, your gender, or whatever else makes you do. Please keep in mind that we are human, and while trying to educate ourselves, there is always more to learn, and any critiques are